insane. As soon as I realized it, I couldn't control myself, so I was like, you know, crying immediately. I just walked away, because what do you do? You know, I just got in my car and drove to a different parking spot so I can tell y'all about it. Oh, God.
Honestly, if that didn't make you smile at least a little bit, we're going to have special prayer for you after service, all right? I'm telling you. I mean, that's just awesome. And it's funny, and in my mind at least, it is funny because it is so predictable. It is predictable. It is predictable that in the joy of the moment, someone's going to do something laughably silly, because at least for some of us, there is something magical about this season of the year. And the theologian in me wants to find a different term than magical. There is something more going on here than just, mysterious spirits or sleight of hand. So let's say this. It is predictable that in the joy of the moment, someone's going to do something laughably silly, because there is something remarkably, wonderfully, delightfully, almost inexplicably liberating about this season. People do things they wouldn't ordinarily do. They buy somebody's ginger ale, or they inadvertently hug a stranger, because something about the Christmas season prompts it. We fix delightful meals we wouldn't otherwise take the time to prepare. We create and we consume delicious, calorie-laden desserts that otherwise we might decline. We spend money. Oh, do we spend money that we wouldn't otherwise, or at least normally, spend on gifts and decorations and celebrations and memory-building experiences, things we wouldn't do at any other time of the year. And why? Because it's Christmas. Good. I know, in many ways, it's been like secularized and commercialized. Just on one day this week, pulled from scores of emails, I got an email in my inbox from the Kansas City Royals all about Christmas, right? Who tell me that this season is 'tis the season to celebrate with Netspend, inviting me to apply for a Netspend prepaid MasterCard, the official prepaid card of Major League Baseball. A way to pay for all your holiday purchases online or anywhere debit MasterCard is accepted. Very next email was from an auto parts store. Subject line, joy to the world. It's 12 days of deals. All right, whatever, right? But the fact is, for anyone with a lick of openness to it, regardless of the ways it may have been secularized, commercialized, abused, misused by others, there is something delightful about the season, and it's like the whole world stops to take note of it. And I think the reason for all of that is captured in our theme for the morning and expressed in a declaration made by the angel of the Lord to terrified shepherds who up to that moment were just trying to make it through the night shift, right? Hey, I'm trying to get some work done here. What's this all about? And here's what the angel says, Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. All right, newsflash. Preachers like three-point sermons. I suppose part of that is because there actually have been studies that show that it is easier for people to remember things in threes than it is for them to remember them in twos or fours, or actually any odd number of points as compared to an even number of points. You might keep that in mind. I think people like three-point sermons too. Congregations like three-point sermons, because that increases, I think, the odds that at least one of the points is going to matter. And it gives you a way to keep track of me so that you can count down to when I'm finally going to be done. It gives people a sense of hope as you make your way past point two and into point three. Well, joy to the world. There are three elements to this announcement in Luke chapter 2 verse 10 that I think need to shape, that ought to shape the welcome home that we have been talking about at JAG Church. In my heart, everything we've talked about over the last 3.5 months has been about shaping our hearts for this season. And I pray that it's been about who we are and about who we're becoming as a church, as a body of faith-filled believers. But I also pray, let me just make this point real quick, I pray that it's also about who you are and who you are becoming, who you are being shaped to be. Because if it's not shaping you, it'll never shape us. You understand that, right? We are a body. Given that the body is formed of all of us as individual components, the thing that has to change, the transformation of the body more fully, step by step, into the visage of Christ, into the countenance of Christ, that transformation only takes place, here's an amen opportunity, when every one of us is changed. So I pray that we are more than ever before people who are aware of our blessing in Christ. That's where we started a couple of weeks ago. People ready to live in, ready to share our blessing in Christ, because that's the welcome we are extending. Welcome home to a place of blessing. He has been mindful, Mary says, of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. I pray that more than ever before, we are becoming a people of peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests, because that is the welcome that we're called to extend. Welcome home to a place of peace, and not a peace dependent upon circumstances, but a peace that is rooted in relationship with God himself, that comes when we trust his character, when we trust his timing, when we trust his strategy, when we trust his son, who is the way, the truth, the life. No more I'll do it myself, right? No more I'll do it myself while our life is hanging off the edge of a precipice, but rather living in that place of confident trust that brings that day to day beyond understanding, but not beyond experiencing peace that comes when our heart is all about Jesus. Today's text tells us that the welcome home we offer is a welcome home to a place of joy. To a place of joy. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And here are the three elements that have captured my attention. First is good news. How many of you could use some good news? I don't expect this to surprise anybody or to shake up anyone's theology, but I do want to remind you today that the announcement that today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you, he is Christ the Lord, that is good news. I want you to think about this for a minute. What a dark and broken world we were living in before that announcement was made. I think it's difficult to appreciate that. I think it's difficult to appreciate how now 2,000 years after the fact, and so much has been impacted by the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ, and then by the people of God over the centuries since. I think it's difficult to appreciate how dark, how absent of light, and how broken, how dysfunctional and misaligned this world was. Guess I risk sounding like an old man when I say this, but hey, that's what I am. If you haven't noticed yet this morning, I'm a papa. I've been around since the 60s. If I was a car, I'd be an antique. I'd be a collectible. And being an old man does give me a perspective on life that anyone who's not been around as long as I have won't have. I mean, that's just a fact. And that's, if you're younger than me, I'm not dismissing another perspective. I'm just saying, I'll get some amens on this. I remember when we didn't have microwave ovens. You wanted to heat up your dinner, you had to turn on the stove. You had to turn on the oven. Or just decide it wasn't worth it and just eat it cold, right? Come on. I remember when real human beings came out and pumped your gas. I remember landlines. I remember when payphones cost a dime, which means I remember payphones. Think of it, right? I remember cassette tape answer machines. I remember floppy disks. I remember far more moderate environmental temperature swings. That's a joke for some of you. I remember duck and cover air raid drills in elementary school. I remember when the commies were our enemies. And the point of all that is not that any of that was better or worse than anything anybody else might have experienced the particular time frame in which they were born, things they lived through, but only that if you didn't live through what I lived through, some of you lived through more, some of you left, all of us lived through different. If you didn't live through what I lived through, you can't appreciate that perspective completely. You could say the same to me about whatever your life experience has been, and none of us, here's the point, none of us know what it was like to live in the dark and broken world before the light of life had even appeared, before the healer of humanity had even come. But with this announcement today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. God's promise was fulfilled. Isaiah chapter 9, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Right? The sun had come up. That was and that is good news. You've been stuck at home before, maybe stuck elsewhere in the middle of a winter storm, power's out, right? I mean, even that's improved at my house over 30 years. It used to be when the wind blew in Meriden, the power went out. That's changed. We got reliable power now. People like Josh Brockstrom, I'm telling you. Hello, Josh. I thought you'd be out in this snowstorm working this morning. Jason. Started with a J, give me a break. You know what it's like. You're sitting in the dark. Maybe you got a candle lit. You found a working flashlight, you know, but the heat's out. It's getting colder by the minute. You can't eat. There's no way to cook anything. And guys like Jason are out there fighting the wind. They're fighting the blowing snow. They're working their magic. Okay, not their magic, their logical, scientifically informed processes for the creation and distribution of electrical power. That understanding of science itself possible only because of biblical convictions about a stable, studyable, understandable, created order, but I digress. Jason and his guys work their magic, and voila, right? All of a sudden, the power is back on. Come on, think about it. The house lights come up, right? The furnace kicks in. The heart feels such relief. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. It is good news. Good news. And I remind you of that with Christ. Behold, I bring you good news. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this good news, second, creates great joy. Great joy. There is a cause and effect described here. One translation says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Great joy. And I just want to suggest to you that great joy ought to be at the heart of the welcome home we extend. We've heard good news. The lights have come on, right? It's like the power's been restored and we're no longer wandering in the darkness. We share good news. And what the angel promises is that this is such powerfully good news that it births great joy. And so I offer to you that if great joy is not characteristic of who we are and not characteristic of the welcome that we extend, maybe we don't fully comprehend the good news, what's been announced. Maybe I'll take a minute to define our terms. We started our conversation with the ridiculous video of the mom who accidentally hugged a stranger, and that's funny. And it was joyful in its presentation, but I wouldn't call that particular experience joy. Sometimes you speak of happiness as if it's the same as joy. I'm not sure I'd make that equation either. Dr. Cheryl McDonald has written that happiness is subjective, that it's a matter of perception, that happiness is an emotion that can be scientifically studied, measured, because people can reliably and honestly report their increases, decreases in happiness. By contrast, joy, she says, is a state of mind, a combination of emotions, and in the spiritual context is localized in the heart. Joy contains elements of contentment, confidence, and hope. That's what this good news births. And a lot of it. It is great joy, abundant joy, generous, overflowing joy. It is something less temporary and more sustainable than just mere happiness. And with the recognition that the light of life has come, that the darkness has been shattered, that into the brokenness of our messed up world, the Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings. I was thinking about, do you know that promise? It's from the book of Malachi. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. I thought some of you would have. That's a good verse for Jefferson County, Kansas, right there, right? You will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. And when you get it, when you get some understanding of the darkness of our broken world, and when you hear with fresh ears this angel's declaration today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You can appreciate anew the strength of the declaration, I bring you good news of great joy. Good news of great, great joy. Now listen closely to this third element, because the promise is good news of great joy that will be for all the people. All the people. The full preface to the announcement that a Savior has been born declares, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Two thoughts here, and no, that doesn't change my three-point outline into a four, but they're called sub-points. The first involves our responsibility to the all. It's maybe a little behind the scenes, a little beneath the surface, but I have been being freshly captured of late by our responsibility. If you're a Christ follower this morning, if you've decided that he gets to be king over your life, our responsibility to the all. To the all. Jesus' declaration to his church was this. First of all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That is, he has been and he remains exalted above all. He is king. All power is his. Even when we don't act like he's the king, he still remains the king. And therefore, because he is king and we've said you get to be king, therefore we are too. This is his command. Therefore, go make disciples of, everybody say the word with me, all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And by the way, to those fulfilling that commission, he makes this promise, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So this doesn't count as a point, but it is a thought. If you want more of the presence of Jesus in your life, maybe you should get more engaged in the mission of Jesus with your life. Because that's who he's promised to be with even to the end of the age. My observation is that there are approximately 19,000 people in Jefferson County, and by no means have all of them experienced a viable witness of Jesus as the Christ. There are, it's a calculation I made a while back, about 15,000 people within a reasonable driving range of JAG Church. 15 minutes, people tell us, is about as far as people tend to drive to attend a local church, which means some of you are not all that reasonable. That's a different point for a different day. 15,000 people. 15,000 people. By no means have all of them experienced a viable witness of the one who is their Savior, Christ the Lord. And I am freshly aware that this is good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. And freshly aware that on some level, I am responsible before God for at least those 15,000. Why wouldn't I be? that we, if you're a part of JAG Church, if somebody asks you, where do you go to church? And your first inclination is to say, I go to JAG Church. That together, on some level, we are responsible for before God for at least those 15,000. Why wouldn't we be? Because this good news is for all the people. I'm quite aware that our responsibility stretches beyond that, and that's why every month, out of your generosity, JAG Church helps fund about 40 different missionaries and ministries, everything from God's Storehouse locally to the Rescue Mission in Topeka to college ministries on Kansas campuses to Europe and Africa and South America and Eurasia and sensitive countries, parts of the world we can't even post about online because somebody might find out. Right. Why? Because this is good news that births great joy, and it is for all the people. It's for all the people if they've actually heard it, if somebody's actually told them. It's good news, right? If they've actually heard it, if somebody's actually told them. Which is what the shepherds did, by the way. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word. They what? They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. In order for it to be good news, somebody has to report it. And I don't have time to make the point, but there's an urgency to report it. There is an urgency to be about our Father's business now, because Carl Henry said it like this: the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. The fact that it is good news for all the people, but only good news if it's delivered, and that Jesus has commissioned us, his church, his people, those who claim his name, to be his delivery system, puts responsibility on us. And I am just telling you right now that if we don't set our hearts with fresh conviction on delivering good news in 2020, we're going to miss something that is right at the heartbeat of who God is and what he's all about. So I'm just telling you for myself, I am freshly captured by our responsibility to the all. That isn't limited to folks I've happened to meet. You know what I'm saying? That isn't limited to folks I happen to like. All right, here's something else I've been pondering. Second subpoint. I don't really have an answer for this yet. But it's something every one of us, I believe, needs to think about, needs to ponder, needs to pay some attention to. The angel says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. As it happened, the shepherds spread the news, and all who heard it from them were amazed at what the shepherds said. And yet I know that when the church, the people of God, when the people of God share the message of Christ, it is often not heard as amazing, great news. It doesn't always cause great joy. I say that, and I know that every person that Jesus dealt with wasn't always happy to deal with him. I know that wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it. Small is the gate. Narrow is the road that leads to life. Only a few find it. But I'm just thinking aloud here. I wonder, right? Good news, great joy, all the people. Great joy, all the people. I wonder if there's something about the way we understand this good news, if there's something about the way we present or declare this good news as the people of God that keeps it from being good news that causes great joy for all the people. You'll pardon my language for a minute. No, I'm not going to swear. I'm going to use a marketing analogy to talk about the gospel. Surely you can understand it is possible to have the greatest product on the planet. And if you misunderstand what that product is, if you don't know what it does, and particularly if it works different ways in different applications, and you don't know that, then it's going to be impossible to put on display all of its benefits. If you don't understand the product, then it's going to be impossible for everyone with whom you share it to share your joy in it. Years ago, I think it was between college semesters, so that gives you an idea how long ago it was. Years ago, I sold advertising specialties for just a little bit. Only a very little bit, because I was lousy at it. Advertising specialties includes anything you might imprint your name on, your business name on, pens, pencils, calendars, bumper stickers, coffee mugs, anything you could think of. And in retrospect, I was a lousy advertising specialties representative because I didn't fully understand the product I was selling. I wasn't selling 1,000 ink pens. Some of you are way ahead of me here. I wasn't selling 1,000 ink pens. I was selling, or at least I was supposed to be selling, that business owner's name on a pen that somebody was going to pick up and use 5,000 times. And so if that pen cost you a dollar, that meant potentially that that person would see your name 5,000 times for a dollar, which is about 2/100,000ths of a cent each time. How many of you know that selling 5,000 business impressions for a dollar is different from selling a, hey, you want an ink pen you can give away? And I want to offer then, as food for thought, the possibility that if our sharing of good news isn't producing great joy, because guess what? That's what the angel said would happen. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all the people. If our sharing of good news isn't producing great joy in all the people, maybe we need to rethink the Jesus we are presenting and how we are presenting him. And I'm not talking about making Jesus someone other than who he is. I'm not talking about making him something different than he is. I'm talking about understanding better all that he is. Maybe we need to consider, I'm thinking aloud here. Maybe we need to consider less how we've been told Jesus is good news. Reconsider in what ways he's really been good news to us, and then maybe even consider anew in what ways he might actually be good news to those who don't yet know that he is good news, who aren't yet filled with great joy over the good news that today in the city of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Maybe we ought to step into somebody else's shoes for a moment and ponder how Jesus would be good news to them. And then learn to present him in that way. We are responsible to and for the all. And we are responsible to understand the wonder of Christ well enough to present him gloriously enough, that when others hear this good news creates great joy, not just for religious people, but for all the people. For all the people. What do you know about Jesus that would make him great joy to that person you can't ever see becoming, coming to Christ? What do you know about who Jesus is and what he's like and what he's done that could capture the heart of someone who doesn't yet know him and fill them with joy at the understanding that today in the city of David has been born to you a Savior, Christ the Lord? I'm asking you, and I am daring you this week, when the whole world around us is captured by Christmas, even though many don't have a clue what Christmas is all about. I don't say that as an insult. Perhaps that's our problem, that they don't know what Christmas is all about. Perhaps the church hasn't done a very good job of living out and declaring the good news of who Jesus is and what he's all about. That's my challenge to you. What, when you look at the people around you who you know, they haven't connected with Christ. They haven't understood, oh, the Savior has come. For people living in darkness, a light has dawned. The Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings. When they don't think about Christ and feel like frolicking like a well-fed calf, what do we know about Christ? What have we learned about Christ that if they understood it would spark in their heart great joy because they understood it included them as well? Seems to me that's part of our responsibility if we're going to extend a welcome home to a place of joy. To a place of joy. Let's pray. We found in you, Savior, good news that causes great joy. We have found in you a path to wholeness in a broken world. A light for darkness in a broken world. And we do know the great joy that comes from the good news. But the fact is, we will interact with people all week this week who are not yet captured with this message as great joy. So I'm asking you by your Holy Spirit to help us. I'm asking you by your Holy Spirit to teach us, to give us divine insight, to give us revelation knowledge, to give us understanding and insight we've not had when we interacted with others before. May lights come on in our heads, in our hearts, to understand new ways, fresh ways in which this good news causes great joy for all the people. You knew how to birth hope in people's hearts. You knew how to speak words that brought life. You knew how to teach, to ask, to interact in ways that sparked that light bulb of recognition, whereby people came to the conclusion through the work of the Holy Spirit, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So I'm praying you do that in and through us. The same Holy Spirit that anointed you to live and minister in power rests on us, dwells in us. Be alive in us and speak through us. Yes, in this week in particular, this Christmas season in particular, so that when we share this good news with all the people, by your Spirit something happens and great joy is birthed to know that this day in the city of David, a Savior has been born to us. He is Christ the Lord. Father, I do take a moment to pray traveling mercies over your people as we leave this place and navigate snow-covered roads home. Cover us with your protection and grace. May we take in the beauty of the day and enjoy the richness of your presence. Prepare our hearts, God, for all you want to do in and through us this week. As we anticipate the holidays together, I pray it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. And all God's people said, amen. Love somebody. Go in the grace and goodness of Jesus Christ, church.